Today, why have Labour MPs in Leave voting communities refused to back Theresa May's Brexit deal? And in opinion, Jonathan Friedland responds to critics who warn against a second referendum. Theresa May has finally admitted Parliament will not back her Brexit deal.
If we went ahead and held the vote tomorrow, the deal would be rejected by a significant margin.
But the Prime Minister is not ready to give up. In a desperate plea, she asked,
"Does this House want to deliver Brexit?"
These appeals were not just aimed at the Tory MPs behind her, but at Labour MPs opposite, and especially those whose constituencies voted heavily to leave the EU. From The Guardian, I'm Anushka Astana. Today in Focus, Labour's Brexit dilemma. So Heather, we've just found out that Theresa May is postponing the vote. What is she thinking there?
Well, it's a desperate measure, really, because, you know, she and her ministers have been resolutely saying, we're going to go ahead with this, we're going to go ahead with this. It's a huge moment.
Heather Stewart is The Guardian's political editor.
But, you know, she's so personally associated with this policy. If she lost by a sort of crushing margin, it would be so difficult for her to resist either resigning or facing a leadership challenge from her colleagues. So her cabinet have clearly decided that it's the safest thing is to pull this vote, perhaps to go to the EU and try and wring some last minute concessions from them and then come back and have another go.
And in the run up to this moment, she's looked pretty isolated.
The Prime Minister spent the weekend at her sort of country retreat, Chequers, as it's called, this sort of country house out in Buckinghamshire. And there were these rather lonely pictures of her, you know, with an umbrella out in the rain, all alone. And it really is a kind of very isolating moment for her because she's being very heavily attacked, not just by the opposition parties whose job it is to attack her, but by many on her own side and from both sides, from Brexiters and Remainers.
So the Prime Minister has tried to reach out to Labour MPs because of Labour's Brexit dilemma. I mean, the vast majority of politicians voted to remain, but lots of Labour constituencies voted heavily to leave. How does the party cope with that challenge?
So Labour has tried for many months now, including through last year's general election, to try and sort of be all things to all people a little bit. So they don't want to be seen to say, let's stop Brexit, because they feel that would upset the Leave voters in some of those Brexit constituencies. And in quite a few of those, they're very tight margins. The Tories are snapping at the Conservatives, are snapping at their heels. So that they want to be seen to be representing both those Leave voters, but also the ardent Remainers. Many Labour members, particularly younger members, are very, very keen to stop Brexit altogether. So Labour has had a very difficult balancing act throughout this, really.
And a place that really embodies that dilemma is the constituency of Ashfield, which is represented by Gloria De Piero.
Yes, absolutely. So Gloria voted and campaigned Remain. In fact, she launched the sort of Labour In campaign.
London, and we are here to launch the Labour In campaign.
On a sort of soggy day, Labour battle bus that was going to go around the country and convince voters to remain.
It's forever, Jeremy. Why do we have to stay in?
It's about hope, really. It's about hope.
But her constituency voted very heavily, by about 70%, to leave. So she's one of those Labour MPs who's had to weigh up very carefully this big decision, because she knows that many of her constituents don't want her to do anything that can be seen as blocking or trying to reverse that referendum result.
So Theresa May has delayed the vote, in part probably because she didn't convince Labour MPs to back her, even in places with massive Leave votes. You went to Ashfield, to Gloria De Piero's seat, to try and understand how she reached that decision and whether there's anything the Prime Minister can now do to persuade MPs like her. Tell us about the day.
Hiya!
So I met up with Gloria in her constituency office, which is in Kirkby in Ashfield, which is one of the three towns in her constituency.
My office.
It was a sort of typical MP's constituency office, really, sort of small and busy and piles of kind of cards and notes everywhere.
All my Christmas card designs from...
You know, all the Christmas cards that local school kids have designed for her, all lining the walls. And
that's a fish tank.
A little fish tank and a couple of constituency staff who, one of whom was busily answering the phone from people who had issues they wanted to raise with her.
Gloria, we are at the Reading...
Gloria came from quite a working class background. I was very struck by how easily she spoke to constituents. You know, there's this moment as we sat in her constituency office to talk about Brexit, the doorbell rings, and it's the guy from a couple of doors down the road from the Chinese restaurant.
But listen, this is not just the Labour Party who's going to...
Oh, hello.
Gloria?
Yes, darling?
I'm sorry about just
Of course,
2 seconds.
Come on in.
Can you...
You know, who wants Gloria to sort out the blocked drain outside the office, and, you know, out she goes and has a chat with him and, you know, works out when he's going to be in so the council can give him a call. And there's that general sense of being sort of available to everyone, really.
And tell us about the constituency.
So a constituency is made up of three smallish towns. There's Eastwood, there's Kirkby in Ashfield, and there's Sutton in Ashfield. And then there's quite a bit surrounding countryside. And these are really pit towns. They're mining towns. So
if you meet most men over 50, they'll have worked down the pits. Similarly, women will have worked in hosiery. They were secure jobs. People sort of talk about the fact that they were well off. Now, the weekly wage is below the regional and national average. The number of people we are sending to university is almost at the bottom of any constituency. There is so much that needs sorting here. Politics has been skewed towards big cities, and the towns need their say, and they sort of had it in Brexit, and maybe it's a wake-up call.
So you spent the day with Gloria and she took you out around the constituency. What did you find on the tour?
And this is my local hairdresser, which we're going to pop into. Now, I don't know if they're going to want...
Well, the first thing we did was pop our head into her local hairdressers and have a chat with people in there. And interestingly, although initially people were slightly shy, they fairly quickly volunteered their feelings. And I suppose that there were several themes that came through during the day, but one of them was that people are just fed up hearing about Brexit. You know, they feel there was this referendum result, you know, the people made up their mind, and they can't really understand why Britain hasn't left the EU already, and you know, why politicians are still kind of squabbling about it.
I just wish they'd get a move on and sort something out. It's just going on too long. It's just going over everything and all the time, you know. They voted for us to leave, so deal with that, you know.
And did people have views specifically on Theresa May's deal?
So most people didn't, aside from the idea that politicians should just, for goodness sake, get on with it. But we did meet a couple of people as we went around during the day. So there was a guy in the local hardware store in Eastwood who actually said he voted Remain, but thought that, you know, the deal sounded OK and politicians should just get on with it.
I think the decision's been made. I think the people have voted, even though I voted opposite.
Yeah.
People have voted, and it should be...
Yeah, so yeah. The Prime Minister's come back with this deal.
Yeah.
We in the Labour Party say we respect the result, but that's not the best deal for businesses.
Yeah.
So that's where we are. So I'm going to vote against her deal, but say we come back with a better one, or let us have a go.
Yeah.
Is that all right with you, or would you rather me just vote for it and get it out of the way?
I think it should be just gone out of the way. Yeah, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think it's been voted for and that's it. Yeah. It's far above people's heads, what people understand, I think, anyway. It's above my head.
So lots of people not following the minutiae of Theresa May's deal. But did you get a sense of whether they thought she was doing a good job?
There was this general sense that she's a woman who's trying to get on with it, and what are all these disloyal MPs around her doing, failing to back her? So Theresa May seems to have come out quite well out of it, or notwithstanding the details of the deal.
Oh, that's interesting. So they didn't like people resigning?
No, absolutely. Absolutely not.
And was anyone open to a second referendum?
It was very hard to find anyone who was open to a second referendum. Some people just sort of shrugged, even Remainers, and said, the decision's been made, politicians have to get on with it. But, you know, our last stop, we popped into one of the pubs in the constituency.
Glass of Chardonnay, please, Julia.
No. If you didn't expect all this when you come in, did you?
She took you to a friendly pub.
It was a friendly pub. I don't know where she gets free pints in there, but she was keen to pop in. We did find one local who wanted a second referendum.
Had he voted for Brexit?
We're taking charge of this country. So I thought...
He voted for Brexit, absolutely. He felt that he'd been lied to, there was more information available now, and that actually he thought it would affect people's jobs more than he'd anticipated in the first place, and he'd be happy to have another go.
And then you start and think, hold on a bit, this is going to affect a lot of people's jobs more than anything else.
And while we were in the pub, we sort of Gloria wandered over to talk to this couple who were chatting in a table in the corner, a guy called Shane, and, you know, we interrupted their conversation and had a chat, and Shane said, you know, he'd voted Remain, he wanted free movement to continue.
Got it, but if you want me to be blunt, shit happens, doesn't it?
But he was exasperated at politicians sort of squabbling, and...
Personally, I just want everyone to hug it out.
In the end, he said he thought politicians should just hug it out.
Yep, hug it out.
Which I'd love to see going on when I'm in the House of
Commons. Who would we have? Theresa May and Boris Johnson.
Absolutely. And this poor guy, we realised at the end that he was actually sitting there trying to have a job interview. And we...
What?
We'd interrupted him and stuck a microphone in his face and asked him about Brexit.
Did he get the job?
Good luck, mate.
Cheers.
Well, by the time we left, he was trying on a set of chef's whites, so I'm guessing yes.
Oh, well done. At least you didn't stop him getting a job. That would not have been a good result.
No, definitely not.
So it sounds like from your time in Ashfield that the message you were getting is people are a bit sick of talking about Brexit. They definitely don't want a second referendum. They maybe don't have a strong opinion on the deal, but think that she's done a pretty good job. At least they're quite sympathetic to the Prime Minister. All of which suggests Gloria should be backing the deal, doesn't it?
That's what I asked her when we got back to the office. Don't your constituents that we've spoken to today really want you to just back this deal in Parliament? Isn't there a bit of a you that thinks, wouldn't the best thing just be if this deal went through and we could get on with it and start talking about other things?
Well, I feel a responsibility to get the best deal possible. I've never.
She basically said, which is the party line, of course, that Labour could do a better job, that they reject this deal and somehow Labour gets to be in charge and goes back to Brussels and renegotiates something better.
It seems reasonable that the Prime Minister might have thought she could get the support of some Labour MPs. And one thing you definitely heard a few times in Ashfield was people saying they don't want a second referendum. Is there a risk that Gloria, by not supporting the Prime Minister, makes another vote more likely?
Yeah, they do to some extent. I mean, I don't think there is yet a majority in Parliament for a second referendum. I mean, it's certainly true that she's acutely conscious that her constituents very much don't want a second referendum. And that was one of the most interesting things for me, you know, getting out of Westminster, where there is a feeling that there's a sort of momentum towards another poll. And there were lots of MPs representing Remainy areas who feel incredibly strongly and passionately about this. And a lot of Labour activists do too. And so you could be given the impression that there's a sort of unstoppable force pushing towards another referendum. But actually, it looks very, very different from Ashfield, where people think, for goodness sake, we've made this decision. You know, and Gloria's clearly agonised about it because she is from a bit of the Labour Party, you know, what you might call New Labour or a sort of Blairite or Brownite wing of the party, which is the bit of the party that's pushing very hard for a second referendum. But Gloria, who might ally herself with those MPs on other issues, and you know, she feels those people behind that kind of movement, that bit of the Labour Party, have kind of lost touch a bit on this particular issue.
It's weird, right? Because the people that I was, about 20 when the Labour government came in, and this was something that was the biggest moment, you know, the most happy memory, that night in 1997, I have such tremendous respect for so many of these people because they got the Labour Party, my beloved Labour Party, into office. But they did that by having, by having their finger on the pulse, their ear to the ground. And it's sort of like, you know, we always used to slam the sort of people in our party that no compromise with the electorate. We said those days were over, and it mystifies me that those people who moved us away from that no compromise with the electorate attitude that the Labour Party sometimes had appear to be making that mistake. We've got to make the best fist of this possible.
Do you think that she believes that Brexit would be terrible for her constituents?
I don't think she does, actually. I mean, she used an interesting phrase about that she's evidently been frustrated at some of the reporting of Brexit, which kind of suggests that voters who chose Brexit were, you know, kind of disengaged and left, this phrase about left behind parts of the country. And, you know, she's absolutely clear that it's a, you know, it's a, her constituency has problems and sort of struggles in various ways, but she feels that people are quite optimistic. And we heard this actually as we went out and about. People talked about, you know, we're the British bulldog and we can survive on our own. And, you know, it wasn't a kind of, the vote for Brexit wasn't a council of despair. It was a sort of optimistic thing. And she had this phrase about, you know, it shouldn't, it's not our job to tell people they're wrong. It's our job to do our bloody best to make them right, you know. And that was clearly her feeling, that the future of her constituency doesn't turn on Brexit or Remain. It turns on getting a Labour government into power that can, you know, transform the economy and make people's lives better.
So Theresa May has pressed pause on this. Is there anything she can do in the meantime to persuade Labour MPs like Gloria to back her?
Well, it's hard. I think this issue of the customs union is really the central one. So giving a bit more certainty to local firms that are worried about whether there will be kind of delays at borders because of checks and so on. So a permanent customs union would be an important move in the right direction, and also some more reassurance on things like workers' rights and so on. But it's doesn't look as if that's the direction Theresa May is going in fact, because she appears to be going to try and assuage some of the concerns of her Brexiters who have other worries, really, who are more worried about whether the UK can get out of this backstop arrangement unilaterally. So it's not clear that she's going to move in a direction that will please Labour MPs.
There's a lot of chatter on social media about how Theresa May once said that there wouldn't be a snap election, and then there was one. She said this vote would go ahead, now it's being delayed. So should we believe her that she won't allow a second referendum?
I don't think anything's impossible from here, right? I mean, it looks as though this is a parliament that is really struggling to unite around a deal, even though it spent months and months, she spent months and months negotiating with it. She's really only got kind of big gambles left from here. And, you know, as we said, she's been speaking very directly to the public over the heads of MPs. And I don't think it's something she would want, but it's not impossible. She could end up reaching for a referendum because things are completely deadlocked at Westminster.
You can read Heather's piece and follow all the great work of the parliamentary team on the Brexit story, which I'm afraid is still rumbling on, at the website. Now, in Ashfield, people didn't sound too keen on a second referendum. After the break, Guardian columnist Jonathan Friedland makes the case. Now, lots of people in the Labour Party want a second referendum. Jonathan Friedland admits that it would be divisive, but he believes it's the best option we have.
I understand why many people believe a people's vote is the worst option, except for all the others. It does seem as if to at least undermine or, and it's a very emotive word, but betray the promise that was made to people, where it said very simply the choices remain or leave, that to reverse it seems like a betrayal. And I think if it was a matter of just the government reversing it, I can see why that would be the bedrock of a new narrative of betrayal that could be deeply damaging to the country. The reason why I don't think that quite works in this case is the only people who would be reversing that decision of the people would be the people themselves. The key thing that a referendum can only be overturned by another referendum. And so, in other words, if it was a cabal of politicians behind closed doors in Whitehall undoing what the people chose in 2016, yes, that betrayal case would be strong. But the proposal here is simply that the same people get to think again. I think the most potent argument emerging for a second referendum is that the politicians just haven't been able to do it for themselves. And therefore, they've got themselves so bound up in stalemate, so stuck, that they essentially turn back to the people and say, can you get us unstuck? The principle case, I think, is that any decision of this scale, in our own lives even, is never taken in just one move. And you think about somebody is going to rent a flat. You go round, first of all, to look at the flat, and then you get the contract back from the agency and you read the small print, and it's a then that you sign. Nobody would say, well, look, when you came round and looked at the flat, you said you liked it, therefore you must move in and you have no right to change your mind. And so I think that is a very potent case in principle for the right for the people to be consulted again. I don't think no deal should be on the ballot paper, because that would be cataclysmically disastrous for this country. If food and medicines couldn't get in, if planes couldn't fly, that is a disaster for this country. So I don't think you can responsibly put that on the ballot. And therefore, probably, I think the ballot should say, do you want to go with the deal negotiated by Theresa May, or would you rather stay as we are and remain in the European Union? I say to a lot of people who are big advocates of a people's vote, be careful what you wish for. It is by no means guaranteed that Remain would win. And I think a lot of them have been assuming Remain would win. And I don't think that's a safe assumption at all. But actually, that cuts both ways, because that should be reassuring for leavers. There's nothing automatic that says they will lose. They might well win again. But there is no flawless way out of this. The Brexit quagmire is a series of bad options, and even, you know, the best of those bad options is still a bad option. So I'm not one of these people who's out on the march for a second referendum as if it is some sort of panacea and solution to all our problems. I see big problems with it, but I think eventually, almost by exhausting all the other options, that is the one that the MPs will arrive at, and I hope Labour will lead on that. At the moment, they haven't been, and they've just been actually sitting on the fence, hoping to preserve their own electoral position. And maybe that's smart, but it's certainly not leadership. Here is where I'm pretty angry at the opposition and at the Labour Party, because I think you needed an opposition to oppose, and to oppose Brexit and explain clearly, so that the point after 2.5 years would have really registered and been absorbed, that actually those deep systemic problems are not solved by leaving our biggest trading bloc and making ourselves poorer. And the opposition have not done that.
That's all for today. If you're enjoying Today in Focus, then please subscribe, rate us, review us. And if you're feeling really generous, tell a friend. Today's producers were Josh Kelly and Rachel Humphreys. Sound design was by Axel Cocoutier. The executives were Phil Maynard and Nicole Jackson. See you tomorrow.